want to take you to the last part of chapter 1, and that is a conversation around spiritual solitude. I want to talk to you about how important it is to have personal, specific, private time with God. Jesus himself in chapter 1 of Mark reinforces it by taking time alone himself. After a really hectic chapter 1, we pick up on the last few verses in the chapter. It says this: Jesus himself took some time away and moments of solitude at the end of a rather hectic chapter 1. It ends with him taking time out. And this is what it says from verse 35, chapter 1, book of Mark. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. I know that's you because you're devotions people. He left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon, or Peter, and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, perhaps to a nearby village, so I can also preach and share there." And so they traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in synagogues, casting out demons and healing the sick. There's a bunch of stuff out of that chapter, those few verses, that I really want to reinforce with you. It's essential to recognize that even in Jesus' time, everybody is looking for you at some time. There'll always be a demand or a pressure on your time, a demand or a pressure on your attention, on your resources and finances, on your attention. But truthfully, none of those things can be done effectively until we first find solitude, a solitary place, a prayer place with God alone. And these devotion times hopefully are prompting that and helping you do that. But there's a reason why solitude is so important. Just that small, still voice, that be still and know that I'm God thing. There are three fundamental ideas that I think only come through solitude. And you just have to set some time aside, let everybody wait a bit, let the mission wait, you know, to get to all the towns, let the people wait, even the friends wait. All the disciples were looking for him. And just wait on the Lord. I think that there's some real power in that. And the three ideas I want to talk to you about that take place only in solitude are the idea of consecration. You consecrate something. That's not concentrate, consecrate. That literally means to give over to God. You know, when I give somebody my attention, I'm paying them attention. I give something of my resource, my time, my focus, my enthusiasm. Well, I need to give God my time and attention. I also need to give him my thoughts and my ideas. I need to give him my energy and my mindset, my worldview. I consecrate it. It means to give it a godly focus. And you only achieve that in solitude. Whenever there is one other in the room, you adopt or adapt their mindset. So it's never quite purely just God. And I think even in marriage, from time to time, some solitude with God is incredibly helpful to each of you so that you can find your footing in your faith with God and then bring your mutual strengths together and multiply that by working side by side. And so, consecrate. Secondly, solitude with God helps us separate things. It helps us put things in an order and in a priority. It allows things to find their proper place. When we put God in the highest place, it's weird how everything just falls into place. If you're wondering why things don't fall into place, that's usually because the first place, the place of preeminence, bit of a Bible term, isn't established. And once you've established that term, all the other things fall into place. So we've got consecrate and we've got separate. And then the third is imitate. Do you know, when I see what God wants from me, I can easily implement it. When I see what somebody else or hear what somebody else wants from me, I think, well, maybe I'm supposed to do that. And when you have 10 people in the room, you've got 10 possible things you should be doing. We have to silence all those voices. We have to just hear what God wants. And then what we see our Heavenly Father do, we do also. We learn to practice his presence. And when we do that, we learn to put that into practice in other people's presence. So solitude, incredibly powerful value in our spiritual journey. And I'm going to pray that you and I each find from time to time in a pattern that works best for you, a way of putting everything aside and just in solitude, in consecration, commit things over to God. There are even a few examples in the Bible where the Bible says you should do certain practices in solitude, like giving. We don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing because that is a matter of spiritual solitude. I don't advertise it. I just put it into action. See what I mean? And when we learn to do that, we learn to live out our spiritual solitude in an appropriate way. And then we get strength from the solitude, and we get out there, and we're able to put it into practice. Okay, so thank you so much for joining me this morning. We're going to pray a prayer together, and I'll see you tomorrow morning, Friday, on chapter 2 in the book of Mark. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege of the crowd and the gathering of the temple and the coming together in the home like we discussed a day or two ago. But we also thank you for solitude. We thank you for the privilege of walking in the cool of the day as Adam and Eve did in pure uninterrupted relationship with you. Would you help us find strength in solitude so that we can walk in a way that pleases you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.